Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, founder, owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Kids for Love project and radio show, as well as the Love by Intuition show that you're listening to right now. And back in June, we actually had Byron Katie in June. She was having a workshop right at the Omega Institute that we are the media partner for. And I was so enthralled with her, and she calls herself Katie now, that I had to have her back. And she has a brand new book, and it's A Mind at Home with Itself, How Asking Four Questions Can Free Your Mind, Open Your Heart, and Turn Your World Around. And she's also joined in the book by her husband, Stephen Mitchell. And for anyone that's tuning in for the first time, we are the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. You can listen to all our glorious shows just by going to Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7, radio.com. And so I have to bring you in, Byron Katie. Welcome to the show. And I just love your soul, as I have said the last time. And while I'm reading your book, I'm just feeling you from head to toe.
Oh, hi, Deborah. I'm so glad. You know, people reading this book, it's I'm really quite shocked at how deeply it tends to run. It's I'm so pleased, and I love you're enjoying it.
Thank you. What are people saying? I feel as though it's a very deep. What are others saying?
Well, they're saying that it's difficult to get through. They'll get to the first chapter, start the second one, and they have to start all over again. Or they'll get to the third chapter, and they keep going back, that it's running so deeply in them that they haven't read anything like it. And so, I'm hearing this from one of my sons as well, so, of course, that tickles a mother's heart.
Sure. Yeah, so what's happening for those that may just be tuning into the work and may not be aware of it, you had, and let me share this, Byron Katie suffered from constant thoughts of suicide, and one morning in 1986, she experienced a life-changing realization. In an instant of no time, she says she discovered that when she believed her thoughts, she suffered. But then when she didn't believe them, she didn't suffer. And that is true for every human being. And so she came up, and this is your whole life's journey is the work, and it's four questions. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? And who would you be without the thought? And you've helped millions of people with that. Now, with the book, it's really a radical, subversive text, and it's sharings of Diamond Sutra with Stephen Mitchell. And as he has said, the inside experience of deep self-realization, a state of being, hasn't really been addressed. Why do you think that is true?
I don't have a context for it, but why would he say that? People who are familiar with Stephen, he's a scholar. It's his life. He's a writer, and he falls in love with the consciousness. It doesn't matter in any language, and he'll learn to read that language and understand that language that those texts were written in, so that he can get closer to that consciousness. And for some reason, his experience is that this thing I discovered on the floor you know, it works. It works, and it's for everyone, and it's as though it's taking people, like masses of people, on their own, more deeply into their heart's desire. And, you know, I refer to that as our true nature. But it's so simple. You know, it's a meditation. We're meditating on these questions. For example, let's say he betrayed me or she betrayed me. That's concepts that have rolled through our heads at one time or another in our life. But he betrayed me. And then we meditate on the question, is it true? And we sit in that time and place that shows us all the proof it's true, and we continue to drop more deeply into, is it true? And it takes us to a depth, and then we notice how we react when we believe the thought, how that feels and the emotions that happen, and how it separates us from that other person. It's as though the person we love becomes an enemy all of a sudden when we believe that thought. And it's like, what I like to say, Deborah, is it's how do I react when I believe the thought? We start like we have this handful of stick-its, like post-its, and we start like posting all those judgments on that person. And so they're no longer who they are. They are who we believe them to be. Now that is how relationships break up. It's how war in our world is made. We no longer see reality. We lose touch with it because we're believing the post-its. We're believing the thoughts we put on other human beings or another human being. And then that fourth question, who would I be without it? Who would I be without it? Who am I without my story? And I just look at that person, drop all the post-its, and there's so much wisdom. There is so much wisdom that comes to us and connection in that. And then I invite people to turn the statement around that they're working on. So, you know, just to see how that feels, how it shows up in their life. So he betrayed me. If I turn that around, I betrayed him. And that's very humbling. And so I'm going to contemplate, I betrayed him. Where have I betrayed him?
Right. And in the new book,
really powerful.
In the new book, it's actually getting to the point where we're betraying ourselves, in essence.
Yes, yes. You know, for me to betray someone, for anyone to betray someone, we feel guilty. And
right.
Guilt, for me, is an emotion that shows me that there's something off in me. And the other person can't give that to me. I have to find that in myself. And it shows up in inquiry. And then, out of a sense of humility, I can see and I can admit, you know, my errors, or let's say I betrayed him, I can admit it. That's very humbling. And I can apologize, and then I can make it right where I can. And usually that is, for me, just doing my inner work so that another human being doesn't have to be hurt. Because if I hurt that human being to my mind, then I hurt myself, and guilt is how that shows up. And then we're in that cycle that we can't. And it has to do with everything we're addicted to, like maybe food addiction or alcohol addiction or drug addiction or people addiction or you know, this mean-mindedness that we direct toward ourselves and others. But it wakes us up. This wakes us up to reality. That's what this inquiry does. And anyone
yes.
can do it. It's so simple. Anyone, all it requires is an open mind. And it does require that. Open mind, open heart.
Exactly. And I think as we evolve, we're searching for answers. And then we may not, even if we have the answers, we have more questions. One of the things that you speak a lot in the book is contradicting, like, in other words, you know, is the self, does it really exist? Do we exist or do we not? Is there a self or maybe there's not a self?
Yes.
Can you speak to that?
Well, this, you know, the question, who am I? you know, who is the self? What is the self? Who am I? What am I? And if your listeners will recall, maybe it was even this morning, recall themselves having breakfast in the past, like you had breakfast this morning. So as soon as you consider that, you see you sitting, let's say sitting at the table having breakfast. And then maybe you're planning dinner, and you see you an image in your head of having dinner tonight. It's just logical. Like if I say the word lemon right now, you see a lemon in your mind's eye.
And you smell it, too.
The lemon of the past. Uh-huh. So there is myself having breakfast. There is myself tonight, an image of myself having dinner tonight. And then there is me sitting here imagining that. And now that image is gone, so now, even now, is in the past. So what self am I? Am I the self at breakfast? Am I the self, you know, those images? Who am I? Well, not that. That's not reality. It's what we call the dream world. And it's not right or wrong. But this work that I offer people, and this mind at home with itself, is awake to what's true and what's not, what's real and what's not, what is love and what's not. And if I am in a fake life, you know, I love to say, you know, how do I react when I believe the thought that he betrayed me, for example, and I witness that? You know, it's like when we're awake, there's no way. We're awake to, those are just post-its. That's not him. And even though he betrayed me, I'm out of reality. So what can I do from here? And you know, we can make wise decisions. And for example, if that's a relationship, I know who I'm in relationship with. It's not right or wrong. It's just that I'm wiser. My mind's open, but I'm not afraid that person will do this or that. I kind of, you know, got off the track there a bit, Deborah, but
that's certainly
what
okay.
What self am I? You know, who am I? What self? So to be awake to it is not to fear the mind. It's the end of fear. And what space does that open? Love. And that's the power. That is the power.
It is right. The power, when I truly believe that when we learn to love ourselves, all the shame, blame, guilt, judgment, everything dissolves, and you have the freedom, which is really what the work is, freedom and love for yourself and others.
Yes, and that self in the moment is always all we're talking about, because the self, the past and future, when we're awake to it, you know, it's just like, what a relief, this here now. And now I'm not afraid of my mind. It can be anywhere it wants to be. It's just not real. But it certainly is. If there is life at all to some people's minds, that's life. And if we don't love our minds, we don't love life. We can't. So the thing is, the mind at home in itself, the mind at home with itself, is the kind mind. And we've had some great teachers that walk this planet that certainly seem to be in touch with that, like the Buddha and like Jesus and some of these teachers that we aspire to have their peace and wisdom.
Right. Yeah, I think when, as you evolve and things resonate and they just make sense to you, each step you go is more, it can become deeper and maybe more difficult to wrap your mind around or wrap your heart around. But I also think that once you get it, once you realize that when we're in the dream state sleeping, that is reality, and what we're doing on Earth here may not be reality, it gives you a whole different perspective when handling challenges, different things that happen. You just look at it from a different place. And I find sometimes people, when you say illusion, people think, you know, okay, well, when someone was unkind or someone did something, a heinous crime, that's a reality. It's not an illusion, but they don't realize we're talking from a higher perspective.
Yes.
What are your thoughts around that?
Well, it's like when you said that, I just saw someone that had committed a crime in my mind's eye. Now, because it's in my mind's eye, that makes it an illusion. So just right
because
here,
it's
right
in the
now,
mind.
Yes, because I don't know if the news commentator was telling the truth or the magazine article is spoofing us, especially in this odd times. We don't know what is true and what is not when we look at our papers and watch the news. But I like to start from the ground floor in my own experience, and I invite everyone to this. You know, what is true for me, not the world. But let me just identify what is true for me and then question it. You know, Socrates said that an unquestioned life is not worth living. And the way, you know, that's my experience for sure. You know, there was a life of suffering, and now there's not. And I don't know if that will continue, but I don't know why it wouldn't either. But I know that for about 31 years now that I'm onto something that connects me with everyone and everything. And people don't have to connect with me or care about me for me to connect. And I just, of course, want to share the simple process with people that are suffering anything like I did, you know, like my goodness, cancer or depression, agoraphobia. It doesn't matter. We can all do this if we can. If we can suffer, we can certainly find a way out. You know, Deborah, even pain is either anticipated or remembered. So it's you know, this is a journey, just like you were saying earlier. It's, you know, in my words, what I was hearing from you, it's a journey. As we go, things shift as we move along.
Yes. One of the things I wanted to bring up, because there's so many stories in the book, there are some people that are so connected to you because they feel the light, because you're really resonating in a light at a higher level than others. And people have actually, you've actually had people come live with you. There was a time when someone wanted to buy your house and it wasn't for sale and you gave it to them.
Yeah.
All these things, and then the fear of another woman's husband coming and wanting to harm you. How do you, you know, when you're in that space, because you are in that space, you really feel free and you don't feel as though someone's going to harm you.
I have to ask you,
when you gave away your home, what did your husband at that time, was he upset?
Well, you know, he was really learning to trust me by then, because I was by then it had been about 3 years in a very different state of mind. And he knew in those 3 years to trust me implicitly, because I had nothing to lose. He saw that how safe it was at some level and just trusted me. And I can't speak for him. He's dead now, but I can't speak for him. But it always elevated our life, and I wasn't letting go. It's just that I have nothing to lose. And
It wasn't yours to begin with, in other words.
Yes, a deed doesn't make it so. And I don't think people should give away their homes, their houses. That's not it. It's just the state of mind I was in. And if someone asked me for my home today, I would just tell them the truth, and I never know what that's going to be. But with Stephen, he's a very different man. I would probably say, ask Stephen, and I would get a big kick out of that. I'm just imagining I can just see his his beautiful eyes rolling around and contemplating that, and not much shocks him living with me, I can tell you that.
Yes. And really what's happened when I'm reading about your experiences, you've really come home to yourself. You know, with everything that has evolved, because it's been years since you were on the floor, and that awakening came, so you've really become comfortable with yourself exactly as you are. You're filled with overwhelming love, and people feel that radiating. So I can see where you're in that space. I can go to that space myself and understand completely what evolved or what transpired at that time.
Yeah,
because you're just a glow light.
Yes, and it is, you know, for your listeners, it's just a state of mind where there's no worry, and you don't have to, and you have nothing to lose. You understand, you really get that the universe is friendly, and there's nothing that we can do to change that. And inquiry is the test for that. Without pauses, affirmation, just complete authenticity, just you with you and no teacher.
Yes. Well, we're actually coming up on a break, Byron. And for everyone out there, this is a live show. If you'd like to call in, Bob is our producer. He's in the house. And the numbers here are 319-527-2638 or toll-free 833-220-1200. And we are talking with the Byron Katie and her latest book, A Mind at Home with Itself. And it's Byron Katie with Stephen Mitchell. And it's how asking 4 questions can free your mind, open your heart, and turn your world around. It's a book I believe everyone should have. And what will happen is wherever you are on your journey, you'll bring in some knowledge. And then when you read it again 6 months down the road or a year, you'll bring in more knowledge. And it just expands our being. In essence, that's what it is. So we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than 1 million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back with the lovely Byron Katie. And if you would like to connect with her, you just go to the site, thework.com, just as it sounds, thework.com. And we're talking about her new book, A Mind at Home with Itself. You know, Byron, I wanted to ask you, I'd just like to hear what your perspectives and thoughts are where you're resonating in that dimension of love. As a species, you know, we create, as we evolve, many of us believe that we create the world that we are in, even though it's the reality of what we're seeing, and we've actually created it, which includes war, killing, destruction, heinous crimes, and we live in fear. In my mind or heart, what I feel is, though, if we love ourselves to the core, we really get to the core of who we are, the truth, and love ourselves. If there's a number of us that are in that space, we can actually create a different world that we're seeing. And yet some people think that's not enough. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my experience is when the work found me, my entire world shifted. My entire world shifted. And as I continued to live out of whatever enlightenment that was or is, I continue to see this changed world, and it changes other people's worlds because it's still my world. So in my experience, the only world I can change is my own. So in my world, everyone's enlightened. And the way that I know that's true is that anything that goes against their heart, as I would say their true nature, they're going to feel those emotions that are like this temple bell waking them up to, what am I thinking and believing that I can question and come back to myself. Not that, you know, it's like moving from this guilty self that we feel so often, this guilty self into this meticulous life. Meticulous meaning guilt free in a most marvelous way. You know, it's like, and rightly so, guilt-free and rightfully so, no pretending. And it's, you know, to question my past, where I have maybe said or done something that goes against my heart, and it does arise, it's like that's its job. But if I am not at home in that, my work's not done. So if I am not at home in what is arising in the past for me, then I can identify what I was thinking and believing in that situation, and I can question it, and then it's healed because there's forgiveness there. And forgiveness, to me, is seeing that what I thought happened did not happen. So when I see what I said or did to you, I question what I was believing, and then I said what I did and did what I did. You know, I'll see, and then it's like there's no past. There's no past, because it's like Hansel and Gretel, where we drop breadcrumbs to see where we've been. But I'm inviting people to go to the past, to intentionally go there and identify what you were thinking and believing in those situations. That, like, if you don't want to speak to someone, you find yourself avoiding them, and, you know, that's okay, but what are you thinking, believing about that person that you can write down? And the directions for this are all free on thework.com. Anything I have of value is 100% free on thework.com. Just go to How to Do the Work. But I identify what I was thinking and believing about that person, and then the next time they arise to my mind, I'm connected. And the next time I see them on the street, I'm connected. So I'm not separate from anyone. So to get back to your question, the end of suffering, no one cares about the end of suffering other than the one suffering. And no one, I want to be more articulate with this. It's only our own world, Deborah, we care about. We want everyone in our world to be kind and good and happy and prosper and a world where there's no poverty and where people are fed and we get, you know, everyone has what they need. And as strange as it may sound, the basics for me is, does everyone have what they need? And in my world, yes, we all do. We know the difference between when we suffer and when we don't. And when we suffer, we can question what we're believing in that moment and set ourselves free. And anyone with an open mind can do this. And the work is kind of like learning to ride a bicycle, you know. That's why I call it the work. You know, it's meditation, and it's difficult for some of us to get still and really want to contemplate the question, is it true? And really, you know, look that deeply into ourselves. But my world didn't change until I was willing to look at myself. And in stillness, oh my goodness, did it come pouring into me, and I had a lot of work.
Right, and I think it's important to take ownership of it. So many people are afraid to just state the truth of who they are, and it's okay, and embrace it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, and you've mentioned this too, I think when you spoke of and felt that your mother didn't love you, mm-hmm. where the human is so conditioned to think about how it affects us, and it's so important to listen and understand what they're experiencing.
Yes,
and I find that so funny with being human, that we're all caught up in our stuff, not even thinking what their lives are like or what they're thinking.
Yes. If I think the thought, you know, when I used to think the thought, it doesn't happen anymore because I no longer believe it, so it can't happen. But I was believing my mother didn't care about me, and I questioned that. You know, she doesn't care about me, is it true? And then I looked at how I react when I believe the thought, and I could see exactly what you're talking about, Deborah. I could see how I was treating her. And I could see from her position, I could actually see the expressions on her face. And I had seen them, but I had never really seen them. And so when we're meditating on those moments in time, we can really see it. There it is. And so I had, you know, a lot to admit, and I had some amends to make, and I had a lot to return to her. And it was easy to do because she ceased to be my enemy and nothing happened, but I was believing my thoughts about her and I questioned them, and then I set us both free. Mm. It was radical. I'm making it sound like, you know, I'm just talking. It was radical. And if you can do it with one human being, you can do it with anyone and everyone on this planet. And that scares people. Because we think if we love unconditionally everyone, they're going to take our money, they're going to take our property, we're going to have to give them our house, and it's just not so.
Right. And when you get to that, you know, with the, you know, my mom doesn't love me, everyone could just replace the word mom with a brother, a partner, a daughter, whatever, but every human being, I believe, holds some of that inside over someone.
Right. I saw it.
And it's, we're all searching for love, it's all within us. But the beauty of what's happened with you is you had the opportunity, you stepped up, and you had the opportunity to be with your mom, care for her as she was transitioning to the other side, and was with her when she did transition. So what a precious gift that was to you and to her.
Oh, my, yes. And we had some years prior to that that were so intimate. It was so intimate. I don't know who was the mother and who was the child. And it was it was such a beautiful experience. You know, this morning I was sitting with in a group of people on as it happened, and there was a mother and young daughter. The daughter was maybe 13, and looked a little uncomfortable, and you know, just for no reason, she looked at me just for no reason, and I looked at her, and I put my hand on her back. It was as though she were my own daughter. I'm not thinking, oh, she's like, I'm not thinking anything. It's just, I'm so connected. I put my hand on her back, and I kind of rubbed it, and then put it back on my lap, and she turned to me, and it was like, there's no time in the world we haven't known each other. I know who she is. She knows who I am, and mm-hmm. life goes on. It's just, it's this beautiful life with, and I used to would have thought, what would she think if I touch her? Oh, why am I thinking that, you know, da, 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 da.
Right.
And no one gets touched, and I'm sitting there in the state of mind, and I'm missing the world.
Yes. Yes. What I found also interesting about our species being human, when you speak about, I find it fascinating, when you reached out and wanted someone to hold you, everyone you asked to hold you did. No one said no. No one turned you down. Isn't that fascinating? In the world we live in especially, that you're reaching the core of their being, which is love.
You know, it would not occur to me that any human being would not if I asked. And I have never been turned down. I just, the way I say that is I get who we are. I get who and what we are. And you know, so far so good, 31 years, and I'm still testing. You know, that's why I bring inquiry, and I know that's my job, because I'm living in it at all times. I've got this curious mind, and we all do, and I mean, we're all searching for something, but once we find inquiry, we're always finding, and that is that's very nice, finding what we're looking
for. Yes. So many of us believe that our souls are eternal, which they are, and everyone will come around to that one day. You know, what about the mind? Is the mind eternal as well, and
yes.
Or is it all part of collective consciousness?
Well, if
what are your thoughts on that?
If anything's eternal, it's the mind. But if I just had a thought, now it's gone too. So, you know, what thought would it be that is eternal? So the only eternal thought is the one I'm experiencing now. So the answer for me is it is, it isn't. Is the mind eternal? Is the soul eternal? It is, it isn't. It's as I believe it to be.
At that moment.
Nothing exists until we believe it in.
Right. We can change that belief.
Well, we can take credit for changing it, but do we really?
That's true, too. Yes. Oh, boy. Sometimes people going through challenges feel like they're disconnected to source of where, or creator, whatever you want to call it, but
uh-huh.
How can we be disconnected if we are the connection?
Well, we are connected, we're just not aware of it. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm able to be so intimate with people, is I understand who I am, so I experience everyone that way. It I say it sometimes like this, Deborah. I love. Oh, I can say it like this. Everyone in the world loves me. I just don't expect them to be aware of that yet.
Right. I like that.
So
I like that a lot.
So there's nothing personal in that.
Right.
It's our nature.
Yes. Well, we need to take our break. We're up on the break. So everyone, I hope you're listening and listen again and get the book, because it will change your reality. That's it in a nutshell. We'll be back.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
It's a project, a mission, and a radio show, and it's on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come join Deborah Beauvais and young co-hosts every Wednesday at 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. Eastern to celebrate kids making a difference. We invite kids to share stories of those helping others, and teachers can share new school programs that are creating harmony amongst the kids. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids who are helping others.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Do you sometimes feel like your life is a series of problems to be solved rather than an adventure to open to? Do your challenges often bring up fear, worry, anxiety, and confusion rather than empowering you to your core? Explore powerful tools and techniques offered by Mary O'Malley in her new book, What's in the Way is the Way, and experience ease, peace, joy, and a deep trust in this amazing adventure called life. To find out more about what Mary offers, visit her website at maryomalley.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. For those out there looking to listen to the Love by Intuition show, it's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., unless we're going live. And while you're there at DreamVision7Radio.com, check out all our phenomenal hosts, everyone with a message, everyone with a modality or authors. We have a number of attorneys that are all in the holistic field. We're all going in the same direction to help you out there, the listener, to awaken to consciousness, have a better life full of joy and love. So talking about the work, the first question, is it true? As you go along, it's easy when you're paying attention to every thought that's going around and around, is to ask, is this true? And it gives you instant freedom the more that you do it, I find, Byron. Let me ask you this. You've come so far with your cosmic wisdom. Do you feel there's a destination to get to?
You know, I would say that I was on a quest for peace, and I didn't even know it. And in other words, I was in so much pain, I was looking for the opposite. So I could say I was on a quest without being aware of it, but it obviously was. But ask your question again. I'm recalling it as, what was it?
Well, I was complimenting you with your cosmic wisdom. And then, you know, many, many people think there's a destination, but I feel as though as we evolve, there is no destination to get to when you're... But how do you feel about that?
You know, it's like this... For me, the destination, as it turns out, is gratitude and service and understanding. And it's, if there's anything left, it's the state of gratitude. But, you know, this may sound really odd, but other, you know, with no identification, how can I exist? And so I'm awake to all these identifications. You know, we spoke earlier to what self is that? The self of the past, the self of the future, the self that we're imaging ourselves in, past, future. And that's, you know, that's all I am. That's all I can ever be. And I don't want to confuse people, but I certainly want to, to invite them to understand what's off in their life ultimately, and hopefully it will make sense to some of your listeners. That's quite a question. You know, what I want to say is I can't prove that I was ever born. A birth certificate doesn't prove it to me. I have to know for myself. So it's as though without identification, I was never born. And so how can I die? And I'm having an amazing life witnessing, you know, this witnessing creation in every moment. Just pouring out of me, and it's without a blip. You know, no one's suffering in my world, and I am just so open to that. And you know, I was in hospital a couple of years ago, where all my organs, I was sharing this yesterday, all my organs one at a time started just shutting down, and they didn't know. I was there like 7-8 days. They still didn't know what caused it. 11-12 days, they still didn't know what was causing it. And there was a doctor there for every organ, and there was no way of stopping it. And at no time did I worry. Was I uncomfortable? Did I have a hard time? My family was there. It was more like a holiday where we all come together. And because I was not frightened or upset, they were not frightened or upset, you know. And that's a wonderful way, you know, we teach by the way that we live. And so how do we get sick? How do we become ill? You know, what is that? It's a celebration. It's not something we say and want it to be. When we become aware of the truth, that's the way it really is. Other than what we're, you know, I'll ask your listeners now, other than what you're thinking and believing in this moment, other than that, are you okay?
Right, right. Now, you speak of pain, and the mind is what brings pain because it brings the thought of pain. What comes first, the thought in mind that there is pain or actual pain in the body?
It's wonderful for people to contemplate. So important.
Yeah. As you speak about pain that... there was something going on, I think it was your legs, and you just chose to stop thinking about having pain, and you were able to walk.
Yeah, I was doing very, very deep work. You know, this loss of identity it's very deep work. You know, this inquiry, and we don't have to rush through it. You know, we have the rest of our lives to sit in inquiry. Those of you think you have to hurry up, you know, just, I like to say, if you're in a hurry, slow down. But I was,
yes.
I was meditating on, is it true? And I at some point experienced this pain in my legs. I was unable to stand up, and inside of me it felt like for my legs it was like, sweetheart, you never have to move again for me. I see, you know, it's like, look how far your legs have taken you. Those of you out there listening, and they take you where you want to go, et cetera. They're with you all your life. There, you wake up with them, you go to sleep with them. But it was like out of this gratitude, it was like, you don't ever have to move for me again. And I meant it. And then the energy that I was shot with, and it was like, it was over. It was,
yeah.
It was just over. And that's nothing more than just loving what is. Just loving
exactly.
What is.
But so profound and brave of you to say that, because you weren't in fear. You didn't allow the fear to overtake the love. So you truly felt that it was okay if your legs never moved again.
Yes. Gratitude requires nothing. It's when it really is gratitude. It's like unconditional.
Yeah. I love gratitude and trust. Those two.
We've certainly covered a lot of area, Deborah. As usual, you are a provocative questioner, and I love meeting the question, because I don't take questions for granted, and these are some radical questions.
Thank you. It's actually fun, I think, to delve into the unknown, to question things and see it as you're explaining it. At first, when you're reading, do you have a life? No. Is it true? Is Buddha real? No, Buddha's not. And, I mean, to look at everything from that position, from that perception or that reality, whatever you want to call it, I find it fun.
Yes, it is. You know, it's and such a lightness to do the truth when it, you know, as we're open to it. And the more open we are, the more deeply it can penetrate us. But this, you know, mind at home with itself, it's the Diamond Sutra, as you said earlier, and I had never heard of the Diamond Sutra, and it's a Buddhist text that is this highest text, and difficult to understand even for Buddhists, as I have heard it. And so Stephen wanted to bring it into, translate it in a way that kept all the power, but translate it in a way where people could actually read it and experience its power and not have to work so hard for that. And so
he did it beautifully, and it's exactly as you say, you don't have to work that hard.
Yeah. And the sutra is the Buddha speaking with his pupil, Subhuti. So it's a conversation between the two of them. And then Stephen would read a chapter of the Diamond Sutra, Buddha speaking with his pupil. The pupil would ask questions and the Buddha would answer. And then after reading the chapter to me, chapter by chapter, one at a time, Stephen would ask me to respond, how do I relate to that in my own life? So then
he asked hard questions.
He did. He really did. He would take me into, I'd answer the question, and then he'd take me more deeply into it. And the things that I would hesitate to say, he knows how to pull those out of me. And so it's really quite fun, a lot like you today, Deborah.
Yeah, but he's a gift in himself. And this is the first experience I've had with reading his writing. So I truly enjoyed it. I mean, the book, I'm sorry?
Oh, I was going to say he's marvelous. You know, he has translated the great texts that we have, the non-English great texts, and you can find his work at StephenMitchellBooks.com. And oh boy, he's quite a power, that man.
Yeah. So do you feel where you're in such a beautiful place in life and the dream world or the reality, do you have more work to do in your lifetime?
You know, I'm just so open to it and don't hesitate. And so I don't know if I do, but I am one of these very open I'm just so open to it. I live in a world that it feels like if it were the physical body, it would be my arms are wide open. I'm looking up at the sky, and I say, show me. And you know, just closer to this divine, this you know, we have words for it, this divine love.
Well, the book, I think, is eternal in itself, because what you have written with Stephen will live on, and for generations to come, opening people's hearts and minds to the gift of your love and energy, really, and the world, and the cosmos, everything. You're a gift. So I want to, we're at the end of the show, and I want to thank you, Byron Katie, for spending this time with us, and it's an honor.
Thank you, Deborah. You are much fun, and one of the great hearts in this world. So thank you for our time together.
Thank you. Thank you. And so we'll meet again another time down the road.
I look forward to that. Be well.
Yes, you as well. And for everyone out there, do get the book, A Mind at Home with Itself. It is a unique book within itself. How asking 4 questions can free your mind, open your heart, and turn your world around. Search for books like this that can open your mind and question everything. And this is how we bring the freedom. And if you're using those 4 questions that Byron Katie offers, you can get to a place of freedom. And it doesn't take that long. So with that said, until the next time we come together, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.